Well, the New Testament reading today comes out of the book of Ephesians, starts with chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 15 and then to 18. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. But be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father in all times for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Now, I will confess that I grew up with no awareness of hymnals whatsoever, so I had absolutely no preference growing up. I went to Piedmont Community Church, and Sunday school was during big church hour, and about twice a year they would parade us in, and we would either try to look calm or maybe we'd sing something, I don't remember, and we would be marched out. But my hymnal was a youth book we used to sing out of called The Song. And it was brown, and it was torn, and I loved it. They went and got a pink one, and I have to admit, I didn't like it as much. Really? 15, I'm curmudgeonly. And I was able to buy one recently at a Goodwill, and I opened it up. It was a songbook written by a man named Johan Andersen, and this is what it described itself as. An eclectic lyrical collection of more than 800 songs for most situations. That's what I learned from, and I was thrilled to find out it was published by a group called Song and Creation in San Anselmo, California, nonetheless. So when I got to church, or a Presbyterian for the first time when I was 18 in college, and they pulled out a hymnal, I didn't know any of the hymns whatsoever. They didn't have things like One Tin Soldier in there that I learned in my brown hymn, my brown little songbook. But I learned to like some of them. The congregation at Central Presbyterian Church, they had some of their favorites, and they became mine. One of the ones they sang often was Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. And that church asked me to be an elder, and I said yes. And finally, I had to confess that I did not understand one of the lines in that hymn. They say, I will raise my Ebenezer. And I knew Ebenezer, I had no idea what that meant. So finally, I asked a man who seemed to know a lot, and I was a little embarrassed because I thought everyone knows what an Ebenezer is but me. And I said, what's an Ebenezer, and what does it mean to raise your Ebenezer? And there was a little pause. And the man said, an Ebenezer is your nose. And he walked away. So for 20 years, I had this image, raise your Ebenezer. Well, some of you that are laughing, no, it doesn't mean nose. The guy just made it up, and I believed him. Ebenezer is actually a bit of a verse from 2 Samuel. That Samuel's there and he puts a rock down to remember that God has been with him, and he names it Ebenezer, stone of help. Well, that makes a little, I'm going to raise my stone of help. It's not that much better, but it's better than this. So I'm just open to anything at this point. I think we sang out of a red hymnal, but I don't remember in college. I became ordained under that blue hymnal. That's the only one I really know. But I was surprised to learn when I learned more about the Bible and more about singing that we have been an old singing people, that we started singing in Old Testament days. You read about this in the Psalm. And I suspect there were people around that knew their Bible better than me and probably knew what an Ebenezer was, but lots of people in 1980 and a whole bunch now have no idea what that is. But singing we do know because it goes back in our DNA as spiritual people. I mean, we have sung songs of joy and pain, of thanksgiving and celebration. We sing to remember and learn the Psalms. They're to be sung, actually. I mean, that psalm that we read today, that's one of joy and rejoicing. I suspect in Old Testament times there were some wine trumpets and some clanging of cymbals going along with that singing, and they were moving. Oh my goodness, yes they were. Because Psalm 100 that we read today, it's a song to be read in worship. It's a song to be sung in praise, and people of the faith would sing it as they entered the temple, as they went into the courts where they knew God's presence was. They would sing this wonderful psalm. It breathes a faith of simple trust, of glad surrender, of faithful responsiveness. It summons us to praise God, the God who made us. It reorients us. It moves us back to the giver of life. And the praise and the joy and the reorientation are to make us new. And they sang in the New Testament, though it's not written very much. I read the word of a pastor who was asked to preach on Music Sunday, and she went through her concordance and she tried to figure out where did Jesus lead a hymn or play an instrument. And she said this: after all that time, I thought I knew Jesus very well. And last week I discovered he had never played an instrument. He never led his followers in a song. And how possibly can you be fully human without ever making music? She was disheartened. And then she got out her concordance again and she looked up the word hymn. And she found that Jesus and the disciples gathered together after that Last Supper. You know, they broke bread in the Passover meal, and it says, and when they had sung the hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. See, they sang together before they went to the Mount of Olives. So she breathed because she found out Jesus indeed did sing. And singing really was even in the new people of faith DNA. You heard it in the scripture I read today. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself. They sang and they gave thanks. And there's even a story of Paul and Silas. When they were attacked by an angry crowd and their clothes were stripped off of them and they were beaten, and if that wasn't enough, they were thrown into jail. And they didn't cry out in pain and frustration. No, they prayed and they sang hymns. Can you imagine in this prison, in this hole, they sang hymns. And I suspect it offered them comfort and strength and moved them off of their pain. And I think it brought hope to the prisoners that were in those surrounding cells. See, music and hymns are powerful. And through our hymns, we learn our theology. We learn about God. We remember our history. We revive our hope. We revive our memories. And hymns are powerful because they can be associated with times in our lives or people we love. And I, as a pastor, now sometimes I'll preach a sermon and you'll come at the door and tell me there was something in that hymn that spoke to me. Or I heard something in an anthem and that was your good news. See, it's not all about talk, 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 me, me, me. It's about what we sing and what gets into our body and our bloodstream when we sing. I think it's the power of singing that probably made that the first book ever printed in North America was a hymnal in 1640. Guess who told me this? Pam Byers, one of our beloved members who has passed in this last year, actually collected hymns. She was such a nerd. She also told me about how our first Presbyterian hymnal was published in 1831. And there were six after that, and she was ready for this purple hymnal. Well, I'm glad she was ready, because some of us, it took a while. You know, there's a joke of how many, well, a joke I read is, how many Presbyterians does it take to change a hymnal? And you know that, the old hymnal, we don't change. And it's a little bit true, but if we said, how many Presbyterians would it take to change a hymnal? I think in this church itself, we'd probably have to say 50. Let's see, you got a group of people that went to her about the new hymnal, and then they reported back to a worship committee, and then there was a worship committee that talked about it, and a session who approved it, and a treasurer who wrote a check, and people who asked to dedicate a hymnal, and there were people that put stickers on, and people that printed the hymnal. So in Presbyterian, in this church, probably took 100 people. Oh, and a pastor who said she'd learn how to use it. And that seems to be just a couple here. Well, I'm going to tell you how many Presbyterians does it take to make a new hymnal. I would tell you literally thousands. Thousands. The request for a new hymnal came to us from the General Assembly in 2004. How many years ago was 2004? How many years? 11. Okay, so here, that's us fast. And so they formed a committee, and because the last hymnal was printed in 1990, and it was when the Northern and Southern Church was reuniting, and you can imagine how well they did trying to get a hymnal together. It was a hard job to get that blue one printed. And it's interesting, in that blue one, they only took 35% of the hymns from old hymnals. The rest was new. So they got together in 2004, and they were smarter this time. They used the Presbyterian Survey Group, and they wrote to congregations and surveys and found which ones we actually sang out of the blue book. They called them heart songs. So they started with that information. And then they asked people to tell them what they thought, and this poor committee actually got hundreds of emails from people. And then they asked for new submissions. Guess how many submissions they got? 10,000. Oh, Lord have mercy. And so they tested them out. They actually looked at everything they got. They sang many of them. I think some of them probably went in the recycling bin. And then they went out to congregations, and they tested hymns, and then they came back again. And then they made decisions, and not just by what was popular, but what they thought would enrich the congregation, what would lead us, what would inspire us, what would enlarge our vision of God. And so they chose the ones that are in this hymnal. Two-thirds of them come from the old blue hymnal are here. Two-thirds, that's pretty good. I did a little history and looked at how many times you all sing about 40% of the blue hymnal. The other ones you just didn't pay attention to, and I don't know what they are either. But they decided on this blue hymnal. Here's the amazing thing. It's the same size. The purple one is the same size as the old one. It's a little lighter. And here's the amazing thing. It has 250 more hymns in it. 250 more. Okay, one, they say technology has changed. Also, the paper's a little bit lighter. But so we have all these new hymns. But they're new to some of us and not new to others. So what about change? Who said anything about change? It's not easy for Presbyterians. Maybe it's easy for some of you, but not for us. Here's a quote. Even in our day of progress and enlarged resources, a hymn book in possession is not readily able to superseded by a revised edition. There are still Presbyterian congregations who use the Presbyterian hymnal of 1847 or 1874. That was written in 1918. 1918, they were complaining about they didn't want to change. They were using the old 1874 hymnal. Go figure. So if we've got a little resistance to change, that's our history. And for you non-cradle-to-grave Presbyterians, We have had the blue hymnal. What was the color before that? Red. And then there was the green. I mean, so, oh, see, you got some oldies. And the one we grew up with tends to be the one we liked, or the one our mother or grandmother liked. That's the one we think is the best. And it makes sense. We learn where things are. We learn to sing. I'm slow at getting hymns. This blue, this purple one's going to, it's going to take me some work to learn how to use it. And we're thrifty. We have all these perfectly good blue hymnals. Why do we need another? Well, here's the good news. They're all paid for. You gave gifts in memory and honor of your friends and of your family. A woman named Mary Blake, who I don't know, left us a bequest and we bought some. And then Jeff Byers knew that we hadn't had all the hymnals subscribed to, wrote a check and paid for the rest. Katie and Jeff Byers gave these. And I think, just thrills me. So there we go. They're already done. And I am just thrilled with trying to learn this new hymnal. I am. Because there's 250 new things in here. And they come from us from a variety of traditions. From Scotland, which I learned some this summer. From Tazay. There's even old nuggets. They put 12, what do they call them, favorites back. Like Eye on the Sparrow. That has never been in our hymnal, but it's there. So they tried to craft this wonderful book. And I want you to open it up. I want to tell you why I'm excited. Here's the copy. It says Pastor's Copy. Because I'm going to start marking down every hymn we sing so we know that we've sung it before. And this is what I kind of love about it. If you open it up to page one, I'm not going to talk to you very long. It's got in here services for worship. So if, oh my God, by the act of God, we didn't have paper bulletins, we could still worship. It's got a whole worship in here. It's got baptism. It's got communion liturgy. It's a service book. That's kind of nice. On page 37, there's the brief statement of faith. It's beautiful. That was written in 1985. We haven't had anything. It's actually in the book. Go figure. And I like some of the new ones. If you opened up to, I've read all these notes to me. Here's what I love. On page 70, what does the Lord require of you? That comes from that old brown one I used to sing in junior high. Huh, I'm kind of thrilled. Look at that. Old curmudgeonly me gets one of mine in here. And there's songs that work well, like on 85, Light One Candle to Watch for Messiah. It's an Advent hymn where you sing one verse every week. Wouldn't that be great? It's actually in here. We don't have to try to figure out something new. Larry's sung it. He says it's really good. I didn't know that. There's hymns in here that I love. There's songs that sing of international. Come all you people, come. Okay, if you knew that, you'd say, great. It's in here. It's an African song. It's beautiful. There are lots of things. There's hymns from Scotland. There's hymns that we know, just like Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Just great. It's fun to play. And look at the little notes on the pages underneath. Okay, this is what makes the nerdy pastor just thrilled. There is a section in the back. When you're bored during sermons for the next 3 months, you may look at this, and I won't care. Because what it has in here on page 968, a lectionary index. Okay, I'm going to say it again. I want you to go ooh for all the pastors. A lectionary index. Thank you. That means when I'm preaching off of any scripture that we preach every week, it actually tells me what we can sing to go with it. I've never had that. And there's choices. So if I preach on a text, there's going to be a hymn that reinforces it. I think that's stunning. Yay! Okay, really? I am such a nerd. But it's a really exciting book. It's not perfect. We're going to miss some stuff, but we're going to learn how to sing about it. And what I love is the dedication they have left us. These people that worked longer than God ever imagined anyone could be on a committee, said, "This is what we know. We know that this hymnal will change lives. We know that it will inspire the church and will enliven worship in powerful ways. We know familiar songs will be sung anew. We know new songs will speak truth. And this is what we pray for. We pray that it will give a deeper sense of the unity of Jesus Christ. We pray that the Holy Spirit brings surprises and breathes new life into our churches through this hymnal. And this is what we hope for. We hope that the cover imprint fades from greasy fingers. We hope that the pages become wrinkled and torn from constant use. We hope that our children will sing this hymnal. We hope that our grandchildren will too. We praise God for the resource of song and give God the glory. We're hoping that this hymnal make an imprint on our lives, that we may breathe anew some spirit into us, that the word of God will kind of erupt from us in song and maybe will move a bit. The old ones will be sung anew, and the new ones will lead us. So thanks be for those that wrote this hymns. Thanks be for those of us who can't sing but can sing in this congregation. Thanks be for the life and the witness and the love of those who we remember in this hymnal. But it is not about us, and it's not about the people who gave them. It's about God. May we be led to follow God more closely in our words, in our songs, in our lives this day and forevermore. Amen.